New covenant faith, I mean, really throughout the Bible, is a communal-based society. You know, we hear a lot, and I hear it and listen to 91.9 on the radio, and I listen to 105.1, listen to a lot of the sermons, and constantly you hear it, personal savior, personal relationship. But to be honest, show me where that's in the Bible. It's not. It's communal. It's us. It's about us. Now, we are individuals, but it's always about that we are together. Right? And last time I spoke, 2 weeks ago, it was about unity. And Yeshua prayed that we would be one. So it's the identity more, even back when it was just Israel, and now that the Jews and Gentiles are worshiping God together, it's still about us. Not to say lose your identity, none of that. I just have to be me. You know, it's none of this stuff, but you do have to be you within the collective. That we are stronger together than we are apart. And we can accomplish much more if we work together than we can individually. And I've spoken about this before, that our differences, they are there for a reason, and they're there for a blessing to bless each other, to make the whole greater than the sum of its parts. And that we have a reason to be here, to share and to complement one another for the spreading of the kingdom. Even when they were small, when Yeshua sent out his disciples, they went in twos. When he first sent them out, there's always a group effort, always people working together for the advancement of the kingdom. And there are practical reasons about this too. It's infrequent that you see people who really have great success do so by themselves, usually with a partner or a few people, so because it makes them better. I know I'll say this, and I get a little sappy, but, you know, even for my wife, I'm a much better man because I'm with her. I could read all the books I want and try as hard as I can, but she makes me better. And that's the way God has designed it. All right, so I want to talk about building our congregation, which will in turn build our families and will also build God's kingdom. Now, even if you're single, you don't have kids, you're still a part of this because you're part of this body. And God willing, you will have a family and so forth. But you're still part of a larger family. And there's still a part of for you. Look, even the Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, as far as we know, didn't have a wife and didn't have kids. So he still is obviously very active in building the kingdom and strengthening the body. So everyone has a different role, even if it, bless you. Even if it doesn't fit what most people are doing. Let's start on Acts 2. Sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint. This week was a little busy. In Acts 2, this comes right after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Shavuot, after Yeshua's resurrection. It says 3,000 Jewish souls were saved on that day. And then it talks about the communal life afterwards, starting in verse 42. Acts 2, starting in verse 42. They were devoting themselves to the teaching of the emissaries and to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayers. Fear lay upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were happening through the emissaries. All who believed were together, having everything in common. They began selling their property and possessions and sharing them with all, as any had need. Day by day, they continued with one mind, spending time at the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were sharing meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day, the Lord was adding to their number those being saved. This is what I want to see here. And there's a couple things just to point out. And I'm going to go through it a little bit quickly because there's a lot to cover. But if you notice, the first thing is they were learning together. They were listening to the teachings of the emissaries. It's another word for apostle. Because they themselves had studied with, learned from Yeshua. And they were passing on what he had shared with them. And also they were now empowered by the Holy Spirit. So they were teaching the new believers how to walk out being obedient to Yeshua. It's good to learn. It's good to learn by yourself. It's good to learn. I love reading books. My wife calls me a nerd. I love to sit with books. I like learning on the computer, but I love books. I could sit with books all day. My kids would let me, but they don't. So when I go fly to Orlando, I sit and read, and it's great. That part I really enjoyed. But it is also imperative to learn together. Jewish learning is done in what's called the chavruta, which you're sitting opposite somebody else, and you're going through a passage, and it's often very loud. And you're dissecting something and arguing about something and discussing something, but it's always done together. Sometimes it can be done in a greater group, but I encourage everybody that if you learn with someone else in the community when we have Torah studies and as we develop further programs, that learn together. There's power in learning together as a community. Secondly, they were making relationships, so they had fellowship. And we're going to see later, it wasn't just once a week, that they created bonds and trust in what many in Tikkun call a covenant relationship. Where you're bound to somebody. And you are with them, and you love them, and you get to know them, and you support them, and you're supported by them. But with these relationships, it has to be horizontal too. They ate together. Again, most fellowship we read in the scriptures is around food. So as we go down, of course, we have a great oneg, thank God. Spend time with people, get to know them, try to even branch out to get to know other people. And I would encourage you to spend time with people outside of here, building relationships, getting to know them, and eat together. You know, just get to, that's where people talk. Then, of course, they pray together. You should pray at home. And I know it's difficult for those of you who have to get to work at 7, 8, 9. It's tough to pray at home. But it's also essential to pray with one another. And sometimes it's even easier because, if you're by yourself, you hear a ding. You're like, oh, look, I'm going to check my phone. I wonder what time it is. I wonder what the weather is going to be like. It's easy to be distracted when you're by yourself. When you're with somebody, you feel stronger, you're more accountable. It's just like working out. Some people like to work out with friends because it keeps them accountable, keeps them on track. It's good to pray with one another, and it's exemplified in the scriptures. And notice the consequence when they did these four things. It says then. So because they did these four things, it says then the fear of God was upon them. And I don't think it's just upon the non-believers, I think it's upon the believers themselves. They felt that they have the weightiness, the awesomeness of God. And consequently, it says there are many signs and wonders. As they did these four things, as the fear of God was upon them, they went out and God moved mightily. And as we just experienced earlier, this is what I want. So these are the things that we're going to have to press into more to have the fear of God, the awesome. I mean, just to make sure there's no misunderstanding, the fear of God is not some sort of trembling. It's just that you know in whose presence you stand, and it's awesome. And because of that, you go out there and you want to share that with people and have them experience that awesomeness, and that awesomeness transforms them from death to life. In verse 44 and 45, it says that they were united and they took care of one another. We do a pretty good job of it as far as I understand, but see, if someone's in need, help them. Praying for someone is good, but it can't be the only thing you do. Read the letter of Yaakov, of James, where he's like, look, someone needs something, give them your coat. If they're cold, I'll pray for a coat for you. No, give them your coat. I'm hungry, I'll pray for your groceries. No, give them some food. We need to be practically loving one another and helping one another. In verse 46, we see a unity of vision. And then they gathered together in a central location, that is the temple. We gather here at this building. And they also gathered at homes. If you're not plugged into a chavura, I really encourage you to do so and to attend faithfully. No guilt trips, just admonition. Because it's essential for us, the further we are united and spend more time with each other, I really believe that the more that God will come upon us and work through us. And lastly, in verse 47, it says they praised God together, and the consequence of that is they had favor with all people. Now, of course, you continue reading the next few chapters, they also endure persecution. But they receive favor from a lot of people, and even those whom persecuted them, many of them came to faith, or they had nothing against them, they had to let them go. So as we continue to worship God and lift up God, God will protect us and save us because, as we said earlier, it gives him great repute. As we lift him up and do all things for his glory, he will do stuff so that he receives the glory through us. All right, let's flip to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, Matthew 16, starting at verse 15. So this is a scene where Yeshua asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they give a list of a few guys: Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Immerser. And he stops him and says, "All right, but who do you say that I am? You've been with me. You're in the inner circle. Who am I?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Yeshua says in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah," which I find interesting that he calls him by his full Jewish name. As Brooke was praying earlier, it's just when recognizing the Messiah, it's so Jewish and the fulfillment of what it is to be a Jew. Normally, this is the only, as far as I understand, it's the only time he calls him by this full name. Otherwise, it's always Peter or Simon. "Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also tell you that you are Peter," which if you know in Aramaic, is related to the word rock. As you go to Jordan, to Petra, right? It's a big rock, Petra, same word. So he says that you are Peter, and upon this rock, so you see the wordplay, "I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol," Hades, hell, "will not overpower it." I bring this up because the power of darkness will not prevail over the body, over the community. It can overtake individuals, but it will not prevail over here. If you remember in the story of Amalek from the Torah, anyone remember whom Amalek attacked? The weak, the people in the back, the stragglers. Easy, if you will, to be picked off. Which also makes Amalek a coward, but he is such. The enemy is a coward. He tries cheap tricks. And when people are not part of the community, they're easy to be picked off. When they're together, when they're strong, when we're huddled together, it's difficult to move them. It's difficult to attack them. And so it must be with us. We need to be together. We need to be united, and we need to be strong together. And then the enemy cannot prevail over us. It also helps us that if we are tempted to do evil, that the community can help restore. But if you're all by yourself, it's how many times you're sitting around and thoughts come in your head, you don't know what to do, you need help. You need to be in a community because you need the strength to endure the testings of the evil one. And lastly, the last scriptures, we're going to flip to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 24. "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds." Verse 25, "And do not neglect our own meetings, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching." That is the day of God, the day of Yeshua returning and the judgment of the world. So he says a couple things here. He says, one, together we encourage one another to love. Again, it goes back, not just are we resisting the enemy, but we're also encouraging each other to walk in godliness. We're encouraging each other to love. Love is, you know, people say love is a feeling. That's the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, there's a part of it, it's a feeling. But love is a daily choice of self-sacrifice for someone else's benefit, guided by the law of God. We stir each other up to love and to good deeds, to serve God, to do great things, to bring our Father in heaven glory. We do this together, encouraging one another where we are, but we will do better together. And he says, also, don't forsake the gathering together as some have done. What's another reason for this? Is that it says we encourage one another as we see the day approaching. That is, as the days grow darker, but the light of God grows lighter and Yeshua's return is imminent, we should encourage each other to stay the course. Because it says, unfortunately, the love of some will grow cold. And I don't want anyone in here for their love to grow cold. Unfortunately, the love of some will grow cold. And I don't want anyone in here for their love to grow cold. Unfortunately, the love of some will grow cold. And I don't want anyone in here for their love to grow cold. And how do we do that? By encouraging one another, to pushing each other forward, to fight the good fight, to stay in the narrow path. To pushing each other forward, to fight the good fight, to stay in the narrow path together. Again, it's easier to be picked off when you're alone, but it's much more difficult than when we're together. We are stronger together. And because we're stronger together, it consequently strengthens our families. It makes our families better. Yes, I know it's difficult to get families here. Believe me. But our families will improve as our congregation improves. Our individual lives will improve as the congregation improves. The team will make the individuals better. And there's a couple reasons for this. The more time we spend in the presence of God, the better we'll be. The more encouraged we are while we're here, we can go out and do better. When we go to Chavorot, we will be encouraged, we'll be in the presence of God, and it will strengthen our time. If we're only meeting here too, even once a week, it's difficult to go 6 other days and stay the course. And it also helps our kids, even though I know it's difficult. I know my kids are not very soft-spoken, but I love my kids, and I know even when they're back there and sometimes it can be distracting, they're spending time in the presence of God, and so I choose to ignore it as best I can when it's appropriate. But they are spending time in the presence of God, and they're also learning that being in the presence of God is something great and fun and exciting, and they're welcome. Yeshua did not shun the children. And when they come up and dance, they're learning that it's fun to be. And when they come up and dance, they're learning that it's fun to be in the presence of God. Kids don't want to be somewhere where it's boring. They'll tell you, I don't want to do it. It's lame. It's boring. I want to do something else. But when they're here, they're enjoying it. They're saying, they're equating God to fun. I know it may seem kind of trivial for us adults because we're so sophisticated, but that's what they need. And I mean, it says to come into the presence of God rejoicing with gladness. When kids come in here, that's all they got. So when they, and then we also teach them to walk in godliness, to walk in propriety. And it's an imperative upon fathers. It says, don't anger your children, but teach them to walk in the discipline of the Lord. That they'll grow up and be stronger believers because they enjoy being in the presence of God and they're welcomed here. Everything done in appropriateness, but still we need, they will be better. Our families will be better because they're here and because we're spending time in the presence of God. And it is also, as Bruce often exhorts us to, when we come here to press into the power of God, to worship God with all that we have, so that we're changed when we leave. I don't know about you, but I messed up plenty this week. And I come here, and it's even times when we're worshiping, I'm repenting and asking God to help change me. And I could, it's the choice is I can go and wallow in self-pity, I could do it by my own efforts, or I can come before the presence of God and once again humble myself. I don't like it, it's not fun, but it has to be done and enables me to get through the next week. And also for the kids, it helps them to see that they can have godly friends. I don't want to see our kids have to go out to the world to find friends because they don't have friends. because it's nothing against those kids. They really they're starting in the negative. But for our kids, I don't want them to be pulled down. We can pray for their other kids at school if they have, you know, secular friends at school. But they need to see that you can have godly friends and have a good time with them and still worship in the presence of God. They need to have a normal social life in the presence of God. A piece of truth about this is that we can't put our families, though, above the congregation. Now, I know, again, it's hard. It's always to sometimes get our families here, and they're always extenuating circumstances. But extenuating circumstances don't make rules. They make extenuating circumstances. But the rule is the congregation, and please hear me out, is a priority because it makes our families better. If we put our families above the congregation, we're really actually doing a detriment to both. Because we have to submit. I mean, even think about it in the Torah of when a firstborn came into the world, it had to be redeemed at the temple. It had to be bought back from God. So in a way, even you see a submission to the of the family to God. That our families have to come, and in a sense, it's not, oh, I have to ignore my family so I can serve the congregation. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the family will be better if the priority is for the congregation, because it will be fed, and it will be structured in godliness, and it will be built up in faith, and we'll have other godly families to support it and to encourage it. I understand sometimes I can't make it. I got to be with my family. I get it. I know. I came a little bit late because I got spit up all over my shirt. I got it. But still, make every effort to show your family that this is important. And when we do this, it makes us better. And we need to go worship God together as a family, because it teaches them even in the act of doing it. With that, lead your children, lead your family. And I speak a lot of this is to the men and to the moms, but be consistent in coming. Be on time. God has appointed times through in the temple sacrifices and in the holidays. It speaks volume. When someone shows up late, Tim, frankly, and it's not a guilt trip, and I speak about this in general, it's a sign of disrespect. If you came to an interview 10 minutes late, they may not consider you. And I know they're extenuating circumstances. I'm not saying that. I get it. But do your best. Prepare ahead of time. I was preparing snacks for our kids last night because I knew in the morning I'm not going to have as much time to do so. I prepared the diaper bag last night. Again, please don't take it as guilt. I don't want anyone to feel bad. But just find ways. How can we improve so that we can get there on time? Dress respectfully, because it's also the way we dress, it's also a sign of respect and an attitude of worship. And come with an attitude to give. We show your kids that we're not here necessarily to get something, but to give unto God. We show your kids that we're not here necessarily to get something, but to give unto God. We show your kids that we're not here necessarily to get something, but to give unto God. Because what has God given to us? We have all to give to Him. And when kids see that we're here to serve, we're here to give unto God, they will see, wow, I want to give. And then in consequence, as I give to God, I feel great. God fills me up with His love and His joy and His peace. I want to give. And we do this first and foremost by modeling it, and secondly by teaching it. I encourage everyone to come as much as you can on Mondays to prayer, to be built up in prayer, not just here on Shabbat. And I heard that people would join if we could do so virtually, and I understand the need. So we're going to develop that, so maybe you can call into a certain line and pray with us. But even setting aside that time and coming, even if it's for some of the time, not all the time, but it's important that we pray together. I encourage one another to go to chavarot, to fellowship with one another, to build your relationships with others, to learn together, to pray together. And I know some, Chip, right? You pray with Steve Caldwell in the morning. Find somebody you can pray with in the morning. Find a prayer partner or a couple that you can walk with, you can be on the phone with. Again, it'll help you be more accountable, and it'll actually strengthen your prayer. And then even if you want to, you can pray before or pray afterwards. But you know when you have something set that you're more likely to do before or pray afterwards. But you know when you have something set that you're more likely to do it than if it happens happenstantially. Have fun times with people. For instance, Father's Day, Steve and Ivan and I, we went rock climbing. Did something fun. Did we talk about God necessarily? No. But we built relationships so we can get along, get to know each other. It happens. Talking about godliness happens. But still, go out and have fun with people. Invite people over for dinner. Invite people over for Shabbat. Go out to dinner with people. Sometimes even leave your kids at home and just spend time with other adults. It's okay. Or bring over kids and then you can let the kids play together while you sit and have dinner too. But it's important that we develop relationships with one another. Come to the events that we have here at Ohev, the sisterhood events, the men's breakfasts. There are other things as we do things, but be active, give more. Remember, the more that we can give together, the more output that we'll have in the community. And of course, I know we fast on Wednesdays. I know we're not together, but still the idea that we're fasting with the same intention, it's important. And if you read the book of Acts, throughout the scriptures, fasting is really important. I know, look, I love to eat, but this is really important just to really see the move of God come in our midst. I will say, in being sensitive to people, beware of burnout, beware of resentment, beware if your kids want time with you, your wife wants time with you, your husband wants time with you, be sensitive to that. If you can't make it for Shabbat for some reason, it's understood. We're not going to police you. But be sensitive to these things. If resentment starts to build up, share with somebody. Deal with it. Take it to the Lord. If you need to reconcile with somebody, reconcile with that person in love. Your goal is to restore all things. And then move on and keep going and keep serving and keep giving and keep loving and keep worshiping. Bumps will come up. Even Paul rebuked Peter in Galatians. It didn't stop his ministry. They had to work it out. It seemed like Peter got the point, and then they kept going. But don't let the enemy get in your head and start to twist things around and use unforgiveness, bitterness, even if you're tired. Sometimes you're tired. Like, we have morning prayers, the elders, in the morning. When I got back from the union, I was zonked. So I slept in. They said, we understand. It's okay. Stuff like this happens. But then on other times on Sunday when it's late, it's like, I got to go to bed because I got to get up for prayer. I plan my day around these other obligations that I have to do for the congregation. Lastly, I encourage everyone to grab a hold of the vision of Ohev, which is to see Jewish people come to Yeshua. This is first and foremost why we're here. And we're going to do so through prayer, through fasting, through the move of the Holy Spirit, and speaking the word in boldness. And the consequence of that is when these people do start to get saved and come into the kingdom, we also want to help them become Jewish disciples of the Messiah. And one of the best ways we're going to do that is by the way we live. We will teach them in words, but we're also going to see that how godliness is played out in our daily lives. All that we do should be is ultimately for this goal. I'm not doing it to put any guilt upon anybody or to make you to be godly. You're not godly enough. I want to be godly enough. We're doing all these things so that the God would move and save Jewish people. That's it. We're trying to find different, better, more ways to empower us to see that reality. And if you have ideas too, share. Let us know. We will accomplish much more together. We will be stronger together in what we do together and also what we do apart is the more we invest in this mission, this goal, and all the activities that we do here. And our families will be stronger, our individual lives will be stronger. We'll have godlier friends. We will be better people, better disciples because of our time together. I hope you hear my heart in this, as I want us to be together. Last time I talked about being united, I'm talking about this investment. Look, anyone who walks has been married knows that it takes work. You have to invest in a marriage. I just love you. Let's be together for the rest of our lives. That's how you start, and how you continue and how you prosper is by working hard and by investing and spending time and seeking, working through problems together and enjoying one another, having kids together, enjoying those kids with one another. If you don't even have physical kids, you be with other kids. You have nieces and nephews. But it takes work. It takes investment. And there are times when you spend your time with your own friends. There are times you spend time together with other friends. And there are times when you just spend time with one another. But it takes work. It takes an investment. Anything worthwhile in this world is going to take effort. Unfortunately, in the kingdom, there are no apps. You can't just download something. This is a kingdom where he gave his all. And we give our all. And this is not, OHEV is not about us. It's about him. And about spreading his fame and his love to one another, particularly the Jewish community here, to expand the kingdom. So I encourage you as we go the next week, find ways, ask the Lord, how can I invest more? How can I organize my time more? How can I, as a father and a mother, how can I be a better example for my kids in regards to the congregation? Show me what relationships I want to develop with other people. How can I be more active? How can I give more? What ideas do I have? This is not leadership is not about us. We're here to equip you. So if you have ideas, share with us. You have thoughts, share with us. Because we're going to do it together. Not us, all of us. Not just the leadership, but all of us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we come before you. We thank you, God, that you've called us out of darkness into your glorious light. You've called us out of the kingdom of darkness into your kingdom of light, Lord. Thank you, Father, that from Israel and from the nations, you've called out those whom you have shared your love with to be united, Lord, in your love. And in the common goal, Lord, of expanding your kingdom to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Help us, Lord. Empower us.